Blog Talk Radio.
Attention! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard! Keep your arms and legs on the inside at all times. Hold on tight! The show is about to begin.
Hey, welcome everyone. This is the Coaching Chicks radio show, and this is Ashley Ross. I am one of the Coaching Chicks, and today I'm so pleased to bring you our special guest, Dave Redabaugh, with Your Biz Social, who is going to join us once again in discussing some very important social media topics. Today, we're talking about Facebook and real estate, and is it important to have one? So, Dave, welcome to the show.
Absolutely. My pleasure. I've been looking forward to this, so... And I guess, first of all, if it's okay, I want to congratulate all those people that are on this podcast and also those and the ones that are listening and the ones that are going to listen in the future, because you've taken a really important step in making sure that you're doing marketing right for your real estate business. And that's important. So,
good point. Excellent point, because so many times, you know, I don't point out the fact that just by listening in and taking time to educate yourself, that's a huge step forward for anybody.
Absolutely. Yep, you bet.
Yeah. So we can jump right into Facebook today. You know, I was just did a Facebook campaign and ad for the Coaching Chicks, mm-hmm. and it was quite the educational experience. So it'll be interesting to get your intake on it and see what I did right or what I did wrong. So,
good.
Yeah, that's always the fascinating part, is when you can actually apply it. So
yeah.
Tell me, Dave, why should a realtor be on Facebook?
Let's kind of address that, because that really is probably the most important thing initially. And here's the thing, is most realtors, the statistic is that 78% of realtors are using Facebook for business purposes. So in some ways, answering this question is somewhat preaching to the audience, but it's important still to know what Facebook has to offer. And first of all, it's got an enormous audience. It's 1.3 billion members worldwide, okay? And to put that in perspective, if Facebook was a country, its population would be the third largest in the world, okay? So that kind of puts it in perspective. Here's the other thing that's really interesting, too, actually, is that if there's 900 million unique monthly visitors, okay? That's a staggering statistic. That absolutely puts them number one in social media traffic. But the thing that's more interesting is the second place candidate for that, for social media traffic, is Twitter. And they get about, Facebook has three times the amount of unique monthly visitors as Twitter does. So that puts that whole concept in perspective. So it absolutely is a space that it's not whether or not you're doing Facebook, but how well you're doing it is probably a better question, quite frankly. So,
yeah, and that's an excellent point, because, you know, so many people and a lot of the real estate agents that I talk to about social media, they're like, well, I have a personal page, and I connect everybody through my personal page, and you assume that it's all about personal stuff on Facebook. So how do we turn that into a worthwhile marketing tool, Dave?
Well, there's a couple things about that. And the reality of it is, it absolutely is a place for personal things to happen. That's what people do. You know, they're putting pictures of their cat, what they ate for breakfast, you know, who they're, you know, dating or whatever it is. But the bottom line is there is lots of social happening there. And that's the thing, is when you consider the fact that Facebook is social media, sometimes we get a little bit too hung up on the media part and not enough on the social, and recognizing that that's okay. But part of it, I think, really is being able to, first of all, distinguish between what can and needs to be personal about the way that you communicate to your audience. You know, so that's part of this discussion that we're going to be having today, is the fact that it's okay that it is personal, and in some cases it really needs to be. And probably the best way to look at this that I found is to be able to get your head around the fact that looking at social media as a conversation. Okay, so if you look at Facebook as a conversation that's taking place, what are the conversations that you want to be having with the audience, your ideal audience of people who are either candidates for listing, either buying or selling a house, or possible referral partners? So the other thing, and I just want to share this too, actually, because it kind of puts a lot of this in perspective, especially mm-hmm. for realtors, and that's the fact that there's a company called Sprout Social that does social media marketing, okay? And they track all kinds of activity on all the different social media platforms. What they found is that the profession that received the second most number of amount of consumer engagement was realtors, okay? Yet, realtors are the 13th most active profession on social media. So part of what I would encourage our audience to take a look at is the fact that there's a huge disconnect with social media and realtors, and that means the ones that are taking advantage of it are the ones that are going to be able to capture that engagement that those consumers are having, whether it's a question they have, information that they're looking for, who knows what it is, but there's definitely consumers that are going to social media to find information about realtors.
Yeah, and I can definitely see that. I always recommend that you at least have a presence because, as I think we all know, real estate is about the relationships we pick up, we build. And those relationships are based on trust and experience, and a lot of that has to do with that personal interaction. And if you don't have a personal interaction, even if it's online, you're not making that connection. You're not building those relationships. So I agree. I think there is a disconnect there. And some people are doing very well just because there's a lack of competition.
Absolutely.
So, we were just talking about the personal side of Facebook. But I get a lot of questions of why should I have two? Why should I have a business Facebook page and why should I have a personal Facebook page?
Okay, let's address that one because that's a really key question. Actually, here's the thing that I've found and with a lot of the realtors that I work with, that I consult with, that is a question that comes up quite frequently. And I don't know if it's just – I don't think it's necessarily just realtors because I've run into it with mortgage folks as well. But here's the thing that I found is, first of all, a personal Facebook page really should remain exactly that. In other words, there's all kinds of privacy controls and things like that that people normally want to be able to have on their personal Facebook page. And if you don't have some of those, you probably are a little bit too wide open on the personal side of it, okay? But it really is. If you think about it, it's where your family and friends are. It's where you get to communicate with people, that type of thing, on that personal level. Here's a couple reasons that I would say that if someone's doing just a personal page and saying, that's where I'm going to put – people know I'm a realtor, so I'm going to, put the information about, whether it's listings or virtual tours or whatever they're doing that they're posting, they're doing it on their personal page. Let's back up for a second. Here's the reasons why you need to separate that and actually create a business Facebook page. Number one is the fact that it's more professional, okay? You can have a much more professional appeal to it. It's not, Aunt Martha, sharing her favorite recipe for chili or whatever it is, it's a lot more professional environment. The second thing, and this is a really key one, it's indexable. Boy, that's a word. And it's indexable by search engines. In other words, search engines look for that type of thing. So if someone's looking for a realtor by name, then the fact that their Facebook business page is going to come up is excellent. Their personal page won't. And if someone's doing a search for, Dave Redabaugh Realtor, they're not going to find my personal page. They're not going to. So that's the second part of it. It's going to help with search engine findability. The next one that's really key is that it allows us to grow our audience outside of our friends and family, and that's really important. We don't necessarily want to have our personal page associated with every single client that we have or every prospect that we have, but we certainly want to make it available, that information that we're sharing about our real estate business, to everybody. You know, we want to have as many people like on our page as possible. And those are really some of the key reasons why someone really should want to separate that.
Well, and I can absolutely see that. And I always think back to a couple of my young cousins, and some of the things they post on their page are definitely not things I want to be associated with. And while I can keep that, you know, interaction, and I can say, yeah, I want to see that, I don't want to see that. But if it's out there before I catch it, well, do I really want to know some of their habits? I don't think so.
Right.
I definitely don't want my customers to see it, you know?
Yeah, right, so exactly,
And if you think about the number of visitors that are coming every day, and they do search, and they search by location, they search by business, you know, so they could put real estate for Fredericksburg, Virginia. And if you have a social media site, even Google will, you know, recommend a Facebook page, just like they'll recommend a LinkedIn page. So just the body of power that, sorry, I got a beeper, that can go off is amazing, because if you put somebody's name or you put real estate in and you have a great page, Google will put you at the top of the search engine list for a location. That's pretty powerful stuff.
You bet.
Try to do
Absolutely
that on a web page.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And honestly, in a lot of ways, what we're talking about, Ashley, is it's one more website that we have available for us. It's another place for us to be branded on the internet. But like you're saying, the connections with all of those places where we're associated on the internet work together to drive traffic to us, and that's really what we're talking about in a lot of cases. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I know I have people go, "Oh gosh, it just takes me so long. You know, how do I make money if I'm going to spend all this time updating my Facebook page with all of this stuff that you're asking me to put out there?" So how can a realtor monetize their Facebook page?
You know, I think a big part of it really boils down to, first of all, it's making sure that your page is created correctly. You know, and I should say correctly. It's not like there's only one way to do it. But in a lot of cases, there are certain ingredients that you want to make sure that you have so that it does. You know, looking at it like building a website, you want to make it attractive, you want to make it meaningful, you want to make the information that you put on there keywords that will help capture some of the traffic for people that are looking. And those are some of the ways that you really can start to monetize it. Because, I've talked to some of these realtors who have found a way to really start utilizing it and monetizing it, turning it into leads or being able to use it to communicate with clients and that type of thing. And it really is a very, very effective space to be able to do that. And if anything, if it puts you in a position where if you have the right kind of information that you're posting on your page and you're making it meaningful to the people that are coming there, people are going to see you as an expert. And that's really what you want to be able to do. You want to be able to define and communicate the expertise that you have as a realtor. And I think the more that people are doing that, and the more that they're consistent with it, the more they're going to be able to see that, hey, this is actually generating phone calls. This is generating leads. This is generating activity. So, those really are some of the keys together. Well, making sure that you have a good profile image for number one, you know, making sure it's a good photograph of yourself, making sure that you have a good cover image that describes a little bit about what you are, that brands you well. And then the next part is really just the kind of information that you're posting on there. So,
yeah, and really having a professional-looking page, and that means filling out all the About section. So many people do not fill that out because, you know, like, well, nobody looks at it. But the truth is Facebook looks at it and Google looks at it. So if you maximize your locations or you maximize the services you provide, and you put it in the About description, Some audience may not look at it, but I guarantee the system does. I mean, that's one of those little details. And then, you know, a lot of people say, oh, gosh, you know, how do I do a Facebook, you know, a cover? You know, how do I make a good cover? And the system that I use, Dave, it's free. I love it. It's so effective. I use Canva.com, Canva.com.
Right.
And they have one. It just has a Facebook cover. It'll fit it right in the dimension. So easy to do, and you can modify it. You know, there's a lot of tools out there like that that can help you build a very effective Facebook page. So what other things besides making sure your about is filled in and your picture is good, what other kinds of things should your Facebook page have on it?
Well, here's another part of it that I think is really key is, you hit on a lot of really key ones, really, is making sure that they filled out all the spaces on the About Us page or the About page, because, and quite honestly, it doesn't take that much time to do it. It really doesn't. But here's some of the other things that people want to be able to do. First of all, they want to make sure that they're, as they attract attention to their page and are getting people to like their page, that's what it's all about, is getting those likes. But make sure that the audience is meaningful. You know, in other words, you want to make sure that you are attracting the right kind of eyeballs that are taking a look at your Facebook page. And some of that starts with the fact that because you associate your business page with your personal page. They're separate. They're two separate pages, but you have an automatic link to those two pages. So it gives you the opportunity to go to your friends and family from your personal page and all those people that like you and trust you anyway, and make sure that they're recommending you. So in other words, you can say, hey, will you like my page? Because then what happens is then when you have friends and family that are on your personal page that have liked your business page as a business professional, and you've captured that audience, then the next part is every time you post something, it's going to go to them and all of their friends and family. The other thing that I found oftentimes, Ashley, is that a lot of folks are missing having all of their clientele. In other words, anybody that is a prospect that you've already been in contact with, anybody that's been a connection of any kind, mortgage people that you work with, contractors that you work with, the pest control folks that you have on your Rolodex, or, you know, or your contact information, that network of human beings that you have, professionals who help you in your real estate profession, all need to be connected to or like your Facebook page. So give them that opportunity. Then what you start doing is you start growing your audience in a very meaningful way. The other thing, and I want to kind of bounce off this for a quick second. When you did the advertising mm-hmm. that you did, Ashley, did you boost a page, or was it more just a promotional type of campaign that you did?
I actually offered, and it's still up there, I actually offered a download. And so I had if you're going to be doing an ad, a pay-for-ad, you really have to offer something. You know, because I don't mm-hmm. think promotion and just having my name flash up there is, enough to make somebody come over. But mm-hmm. if you offer them something of value, and my understanding from all the statistics is a download is okay. You know, you can create a landing page, and if anybody doesn't know how to do that, ask me by all means. And, you mm-hmm. know, that's one way to do it, is you can do a download, collect their information, and they get this information right to their, we had a great report that outlines the Fast Start program that Cindy and I developed mm-hmm. and that we mm-hmm. go with realtors. And, but the other thing that works really well if you're going to run an ad is actually if you have a contest.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
you actually
yep.
have something of value. So, you know, whether it's a gift certificate or, you know, some app or some program that your audience, whoever that is, really wants. And
right.
what I did learn is, you know, they give you variable rates for the advertising. based on how specific your audience is and how focused you are. And so we had a stupendous rate of 45 cents per click. And a lot of times it's over a dollar per click that you're going to be paying for this ad. And, you know, we had a good turnout. It just took us a while to figure. Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it, you know, I would say I learned a lot from the experience because I hadn't run one before either. So.
Right. And the thing is, and the reason I asked that question too, actually, is because the reality is that there's a lot of ways that you can be very effective, whether it's and Facebook literally has 17 different ways you can advertise with them. The ones that I would recommend is like you're talking about, where there's some sort of a promotional campaign or boosting the page. Here's the thing that I would encourage those people that are listening on this podcast, is the fact that it's very inexpensive. It's really, you're not investing a lot of money, and you have a lot of control over how much money you do actually spend. And the other thing is make sure that you're looking, as you go into it, make sure that you're looking for all of the different drop-down boxes, because, you know, I've heard of people that have run them, and they said, well, it really wasn't worthwhile. And then when you got underneath it, they realized, oh, well, you know, I think I was advertising to the whole United States. Like, well, that's not going to do you any good. So because you can target your audience geographically by, you know, age demographics. You can target your specific audience in a lot of different ways, even by interests. So, you know, you want to make sure that when you do a promotion, which is going to actually go to an audience outside of your friends and family and those people that have already liked your page, and that's what you want, it's gonna get you in front of people that, you know, are meaningful to grow your audience. You know, people that will, it'll mean something to them and to you to have them as a connection.
Right.
So yeah,
you know, but
that's
I would
one
also
of the
say, absolutely. And but I would also include, Dave, that some of the really nitty-gritty details, I mean, you can dig down into how much money they make every year. You can dig down to what their specific location and their job is and how many kids they have. But some of those are very worthwhile, and some of them are not. And some of them will cost you more money. Some of them will cost you more money than what its actually value would be for an ad. So I also caution, if you don't have somebody helping you set up your first ad and walk you through it, read the details.
Absolutely.
Go to the blogs, read the details. Yep. There's a lot of help out there. Don't try to do it all on your own the first time without having somebody saying, that may not be worth it. So
absolutely. No, you are exactly right, Ashley, because that's what happens, is that too often people make an attempt, they do it wrong, they don't get the results that they were expecting. They get some really weird likes, and they get people from, you know, China or the Philippines or something, and they're going, I don't know who this is. So that, you know, all of a sudden it doesn't have value to them. So, no, you're exactly right. So I like the way you put that, because you want to be able to do it. You don't want to be, you know, too cautious about doing it. I mean, you want to be cautious, but you don't want to be afraid of doing it. It can be very, very effective, but you need to make sure that you probably get some help the first time you do it. So the other thing I was going to mention that I think is a really important thing to make sure that, especially realtors, make sure that they include on their Facebook page, most of the companies that offer the IDX MLS feeds, where people can actually go in and search for homes, you know, and have access to the multiple listing service that is updated, you know, every 15 minutes, basically. Mm-hmm. Most realtors that I talk to have that already on a website. And if they don't, then shame on them. They've got to get it. And certainly that's something I can help them do. But here's the other side of that, is that too often they just have it on their website or on their broker's website. Make sure that you look at the opportunities that are available to make that available, to put that on your Facebook page as well. Some of the most effective realtors have been able to do that, where it's just another one of the buttons, another one of the apps that people can have that is right there on their site. They're on their Facebook page where people can, you know, directly to go directly to the MLS and search for listings. So, you know, so
That's great advice. You know, because I was going to ask. You know, I know what kind of content I put on my business Facebook page, and you know, the advice that I was given a long time ago was 80-20 rule, 80% personalization, 20% sales. So, you know, I have people say, you know, I need to put all these sales, I need to put houses, I need to put all this stuff on your Facebook page, but that's not how it works. They're coming to see all the value, and the value is not in what you're going to sell them. The value has to be in other materials. So what is this other 80% of the material that needs to go on a Facebook page, Dave?
You know, I would say, honestly, and this is going back to the fact that most realtors, effective realtors, are going to have a pretty decent network. And if they don't, they need to get one, a network of other professionals that they work with, mortgage people, you know, a title person, a home inspector, a termite place, you know, all of those different professionals that they work with. Knowing that, that's the kind of information that could be very valuable. So in other words, you look at people that are in the process of either wanting to sell their home or looking to buy a home or just have a home and they want to make sure they know how to maintain it properly. So having those kinds of home maintenance things available as and there's so much information that's out there and available, articles, images, videos, those types of things that people can actually put out there that, you know, can be a meaningful post about, you know, here's something you need to pay attention to as we're coming into the spring about, you know, pest control for your home. Or here's a video that shares some of the events that are going on in the area that I specialize in. You know, those types of things make when the audience gives the audience something of value. Going back to what you were talking about, Ashley, is that you want it to be more than just a place where people go, oh, wow, they're just trying to sell another house. No, if you've got your listing, your MLS feed on there, that's great because then people can do that anytime they come to your page. But the other side of it then is the content that you're pushing out then can be all kinds of stuff that has to do with the neighborhoods that you're marketing in, and information about home maintenance stuff that's really valuable as well. You know, improvements that they can make on their house or things that they need to know about what's happening with mortgage rates or all that kind of stuff. That's the kind of content that you want to be able to have that 80% represent.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you know, I do mine on a schedule. I actually developed, like, Sundays are family day. Monday is my humorous Monday, so I have something funny. I have, I can't remember, Tuesday I put something about coaching. Wednesday I usually have something interactive. You know, I put a question out there, you know, or post some thought of the day, you know, but I actually have a schedule for every day of the week. So the other question that I get is, well, how do you do that? And if anybody knows, I handle all the technology for the Coaching Chicks and all the administrative stuff on the back end, plus I do coaching. So, you know, Cindy runs around and does a lot of stuff, but I sit behind my desk all day. And if I had to post like that every day, I wouldn't do it. So I use a system. I use a social media system to try to keep my schedule. So that's why I have a calendar. So I know exactly what I'm going to post every day of the week, and I just do it, you know, like a month ahead of time. So what can you tell me about some of these social media managers? I mean, I've worked with a number of them, but I have one that I decided works for me. So what do you tell people about what they should look for?
Some of the things to look for is something that, and what you're talking about is there's products out there, there's Hootsuite, there's Sprout Social, which I mentioned earlier. There's a couple of them out there that can be very effective at being able to help somebody manage the posting that they do. So you can actually go in and with a calendar like you're talking about, because that's the key part, actually, is that this discussion doesn't make a whole lot of sense unless someone has a strategy that they've thought through and said, okay, how am I going to do this? What am I going to put in there? And then once they've done that, then they can start making those decisions like you did. Here's what I'm going to put on Sunday. Here's what I'm going to put on Monday. So they have that kind of a schedule already lined up on a calendar. And then what they can do is, like if you go into Hootsuite with an account, develop an account, right now you can get in there with five different spaces. So in other words, you know, five different social media platforms, and as long as it's just one user, that's complimentary. Okay? So you can do that for free. But basically what you can do is with Hootsuite, and that's spelled H-O-O-T, like a hoot owl, and then suite like a suite room, S-U-I-T-E. But anyway, that particular product, you can actually go in and you can put a post up that you want to say, okay, this is going to go into Facebook at 10:30 in the morning on Monday, and it's going to go into Facebook on Wednesday evening and Friday morning, and then on the weekend one time. And then you can line it up for, okay, this same post is going to go into Twitter, and it's going to go into LinkedIn. And, you know, so you can literally take one bit of information, an article, a video, a bit of information that you want, you know, if you've got a virtual tour that you want to promote, any of those types of things, that you can line them all up, and basically, you know, once you hit send, then you know that it's going to be populating all those different spaces throughout the time frame that you've designated. So,
well, it really reduces the amount of time that you have to spend, and yet you have a consistent activity, which helps you rank higher in Google, higher in Facebook searching, and really is better for your audience if you're continually involved and you have fresh material.
Yep, you bet. Absolutely. Now, the one thing that I would say is, if depending on how many different spaces somebody's in, though, actually one of the things that's kind of nice that people don't even know is that Facebook has that tool for Facebook. Okay, so in other words, someone can utilize, you know, they can utilize that same kind of tool for Facebook, and you can literally set up a whole bunch of posts all at one time, you know, and then just plug in the dates and the times that you want them to get, you want to get them plugged in. So, and that's just a little
rough. You're right. I had seen that. I haven't used it, you know.
Yeah, and it's really easy. In fact, for those that are listening, guys, basically where it is, when you get ready to post something, you look at that little blue bar that says post. To the right-hand side is a drop-down menu, and the first one on there is schedule a post. And that's what you do. You go to that, it takes you to a calendar, and, you know, the rest is history. Then you can basically set it up and plug it in as many times as you want and when you want to do it, that type of thing. So, and that's the other thing that I would say is that good content, you know, if you just put it up once, it may not get a whole lot of traffic. Put it up a couple times, but put it up different times a day, or like you were talking about earlier, actually different days of the week. When you do that, now all of a sudden you're reaching a different audience every time you do it. And that's what you really want to be able to do, is that then you're growing the number of faces that you're able to get your message in front of. You know, and that's really what you want to be able to do. So... other thing that I would say, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but one of the other things that I think is really key, and you know this, and I don't know if you use Hootsuite, but I'm sure whatever you're using actually gives you really good analysis on the backside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in other words, you can take a look back at it and say, okay, well, here's what I did, and here's what happened to it. It's good to have a strategy. It's important to have a strategy, but you know what? If you're not measuring it, if you're not seeing what's actually happening to it, you don't know what posts that you're putting up are actually getting the best likes or comments or shares or whatever they're doing to it. You want to know exactly what's going on. You may have something that you think is great, and it turns out it's a flop, but you may have thrown something up for grins and giggles and found out that it was awesome, you know? So,
Well, and I'd like to say, you know, Facebook – the business page has a certain amount of statistics, and it will tell you who liked what and how many people liked it and how many people clicked on it. So at least for our very basic statistics, Facebook does help you analyze your posts that are done in there. So that's also part of the system.
Yep, you bet. No, absolutely, yeah.
one play
and
is stopped.
Guess what? Here's another thing. Sorry to cut you off, but the other thing, too, that's interesting about that, actually, and this goes back to a question you asked early on in our conversation. Why should I have a business page rather than a personal page? You know what? You don't get any of that stuff on a personal page. You don't get any of that analytics, you know, to tell you what happened. So anyway, sorry.
No, you're absolutely right on that one. So, you know, we talked a little bit about how many, you know, millions of people are on there every day and the 3.8 billion, you know, people on there worldwide. But how do our people stand out in the crowd? You know, how can myself as a realtor on Facebook, how can I make myself stand out so that I'm attractive to people?
Good question. Here's a couple things, and this is, you know, we're going to backtrack for a second. One of them is make sure that it looks striking, that it's professional, that it's well done, and that the images that you use are the right size. You know, too often people put a logo in there and it looks weak, it looks grainy, it's not a clear image. So in other words, that's the first part of it that makes you stand out. The other thing is, and I think what you hit on it earlier, and this is really just taking a lot of the stuff we've talked about, kind of reinforcing it, actually, but the other part of it is this 80-20 rule that you mentioned. It's really important. Too often people get on there and they try to sell something every time they're there. You know, they're putting up another listing or take a look at this house or, you know, whatever it is, but they're constantly selling. And any of us that spends any time on social media realize what a turnoff that can be. So, you know, you want to make sure that you apply that 80-20 rule. Make the content that you're putting on there, the information that you're putting on there, of real value to the people that are visiting your site. That's another way to separate yourself, because there are too many that don't do that. They don't put meaningful content on there. And the other thing is making sure that you have access to that meaningful content, making sure that you're doing things like, you know, using Google Alerts or you're using AltTop, and there's a number of different sites that you can and ways that you can access information that's going to separate you, that's going to make the stuff that the content that you put into your Facebook page a lot more meaningful and a lot more attractive. Okay, so that's another way. But I would say really the key part is to, and I shouldn't say the key part. There's two other things that I want to mention. One is it's okay to make it personal sometimes. It's okay to let your personality come out in some of the information that you post on there. And here's the reason that I say that. I think any realtor that's worth their grain at all realizes how important that is in the conversations that they have with people. You know, the more personal that they are, the more that they let the best part of their personality shine through as they have developed these relationships with people, the better off they are and the longer lasting that they are. So with that in mind, you know, again, let's go back to this. This is about social media. Be social there.
Yeah.
It's okay to be, you know, share your personality. Make that part of you come out. And then the best part of you is what is going to separate you from the rest of your competition, the rest of the noise that's happening out there on Facebook. And the last part of that I was going to say is the whole part of making sure that you're gaining the right kind of audience. You know, it doesn't necessarily make a big difference if you've got tens of thousands of followers, if those tens of thousands of followers are not really meaningful audience. It's better to have hundreds of really, really meaningful relationships that you have, that people that are, you know, somebody that can refer you, somebody that knows the value that you bring to the real estate business. So I would say that's the other part of it, is as you grow your audience, make sure you grow it with meaningful associations. So.
And absolutely. And it definitely inviting people. I always say just because you build it doesn't mean they'll come. There's a lot of distractions.
Yes,
you know, that
exactly
Robert
right.
Redford, it always comes to me when it comes to social media. I don't know what it is with me in that movie, but I mean, it just because you have a Facebook page, if you're not telling people, you're not inviting them to come and like you and see your content, Well, yeah, you're not going to have people on there, and it doesn't happen overnight. You're not just going to pop up with 500 people, but the consistent long-term commitment to doing that, I think that that works really well.
Yep, absolutely. So. Absolutely. So. Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, I think we've covered a lot of why people should bother with all of it, and we talked a little bit about advertising. And I think what people find confusing on a Facebook business page is you always, every time you put in a post, every time you put anything in there, it says, do you want to boost this? So what do they mean by do you want to boost this?
Basically what it is, boosting a post is one other form of advertising. And I would say for those times that you do I shouldn't say the only time you want to do it is when you're trying to when you have a listing or a virtual tour or whatever. It can be anything that really is a meaningful post. But boosting a post, basically what happens is when you go into that and you hit I'm going to boost a post, it takes you through that whole process of making decisions about an advertising spend, because that's literally what you're doing is you're getting ready to spend some money on Facebook. So it's going to give you the opportunity to say, okay, who do I want to boost this post to? Who are the eyes that I want to see it? Well, I want them to see it that are located within these towns and this particular age group. And in other words, you can now start fine-tuning that audience of people that you want to deliver it to. I can give you a really, really good example that's been real recent with an account. Not even a realtor. It's actually somebody that's a parent coach who's just decided to really start getting active on Facebook. And it's amazing. She's got some really, really good when you look at the analytics on the backside, the number of people that are visiting her page and taking a look and making comments and that type of thing has really been pretty striking. And I think it kind of impressed her, and she was shocked, actually, that she got as much activity as she did. But what was neat, though, Ashley, is she took a couple of these posts and boosted them. And to give you an idea, where she was getting between, you know, 300 and maybe 500 or 600 people that would see her post, and, you know, anywhere from 10 to 12 different comments and, you know, the number of shares, the amount of activity literally, well, more, it almost tripled as far as the number of people that saw it. The number of comments was about the same calculation. It was about three times as many. The number of shares, so literally, boosting a post, when you take the time, like we, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier, doing it correctly, taking the time to, and it makes sense to actually get some help the first time to do it so you can click the right buttons and get it to the right audience. But when you do that, it can really grow your likes, it can grow the audience, it can get you in front of a lot better people, so a lot better, larger audience. And again, you determine by the buttons that you click when you boost that post who that audience is going to be, who your target audience you want to make sure sees that. So,
okay, well, you know, I think that's always usually one of the most confusing things when you have a business Facebook page is they're always asking, do you want to boost this? And then people get in trouble because they go, yeah, I want to boost it. But here again, I think a good piece of advice is post it a few times, look at the statistics, and if you're having a good click rate, you're having people that are interested, that would be something worthwhile to post in a week and then boost it. But, you know, taking something cold and boosting it, you might just be wasting your money if you don't know there's already an interest in it. So, you know, kind of pulling back to what we talked about before, the statistics is going to play an important part to knowing if you're going to be successful through your advertising. So,
right. You know, another thing that's worth mentioning at this point too, actually, that I'll throw out to you that a lot of people don't even know about, and that's the fact that once you've done that, you've taken a chance to say, okay, I'm going to boost this one. I want to make sure that this gets seen by more eyes. The other thing that you can do, and this is a freebie, this is not paid advertising on Facebook, you can flag it. when you flag a particular post, what it does is it keeps that at the top of your newsfeed for, and you can determine how long you want to have it there. I shouldn't say that. What they do is they keep it up there for the next 7 days. Then if you want to do it again, you can. But it's kind of one of those neat little tricks. One of the things that people don't necessarily know, but if you tag or flag a post, it will stay up at the top for the next 7 days. Facebook does that. It'll pin it. It's like it pins it to the bulletin board. So I'm not going to move you anywhere. So for a week.
Excellent. Well, that's good to know. It's almost like sponsored advertising, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. Yep.
Yeah, excellent. I hadn't even I hadn't played with that one. So, you know what my next play toy will be?
Exactly. I'm going to start tagging some bad boys. So that's right. So good for you.
That's it. Well, awesome. Well, I think, you know, I ran out of questions. I think we have covered Facebook to the full extent that I can think of, unless you have some other excellent tips for us that I haven't thought about.
No, I think we've hit on a lot of key things. You know, I mean, it's the other part of it, I guess, I would throw out is the fact that in order to be effective with this, someone really does need to be consistent. You know, using tools like you were talking about for posting and being able to set it up and plan it out ahead of time, make that a whole lot easier, but being consistent with it is probably the key thing to making it meaningful. And once people start doing that and start seeing that people are starting to comment and then they start sharing your stuff and those types of things start happening, if you just apply some of these basics that you and I have been talking about, they'll be amazed at the kind of results that they're going to be able to start seeing. So,
excellent. Okay. Well, Dave, you know, I know you do coaching on this, and of course, you know, I do it as well through the Coaching Chicks with people that are enrolled in our program. But how do they contact you for more information?
A couple ways. One is if you visit our website, and it's real simple. The name of the business, again, is Your Biz, B-I-Z, Social. And so the domain name is yourbizsocial.com. My personal email, which I don't mind sharing, is dave@yourbizsocial.com. So it's that simple. Or if they prefer, they can call me. I mean, my telephone number is 703-328-2653. So those are a couple ways, and I'm happy to help. I love doing it, and I'm telling you, I really have got to where I really, really enjoy working with realtors. They're an audience of people that you know, as unique as each one of them is, they all have a passion for helping people with, you know, that part of that big, huge decision that people have to make that somehow makes it a really attractive business to be involved with. And I've appreciated the relationships that I've developed in that space. So,
absolutely. Because, you know, they're some of my favorite people and Cindy's favorite people. And you can always reach me if you can't find Dave's information. And we're at thecoachingchicks.com. It's very easy. Or you can email me at ashley@thecoachingchicks.com. And that's chicks without a K. It's C-H-I-C-S. So thank you, Dave. I look forward to our next conversation, which I think is next month. And, you know, I wish you the best. I wish everybody on here listening the very best day. If you have questions, call us or email us. And we're more than happy to help you out because that's what our passion is as well. So,
absolutely.
Take care, and we will see you all next time.
All righty. Thanks, Ashley.
Thanks, Dave.
Ladies and gentlemen, push the safety bars up and exit the ride.